Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. And this session is, the title is, I'm your host, Robin Seegers, and we have our special guest, Rita Brewer. And this session is, do you live to eat or eat to live? Eat healthy on a budget. Now, Rita Brewer is a private health coach. She's board certified physician assistant, lifestyle medicine practitioner, and functional medicine practitioner. Hello, Rita. How are you?
Hey, Robin. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back again.
Well, I'm glad to have you back because this information really is for me.
We all need it, don't we?
Yes. So if you want to expound on the information I just gave about you, if there's anything else you want to mention, your business right quick, and we'll mention it again at the end.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I've been a physician assistant practicing conventional medicine for over 30 years, but I really, about 10 or 12 years ago, wanted to change my focus to a more preventative health and wellness environment, because unfortunately, the way we practice conventional medicine, we're really just a pharmaceutical-driven culture where we just treat every ill with another pill, and we don't really focus on helping people prevent diseases in the first place. So I truly believe that, like Hippocrates said many, many years ago, food is medicine, and let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. So what we eat has everything to do with our health. So it's really important if you want to be healthy and reverse chronic diseases and not get them in the first place, that we eat healthy. And, you know, of course, people want to know, how can I do that on a budget? And I think it's a great topic to talk about today.
Yeah, because that's fitting the topic, is because a lot of us, we live to eat. There's people that just love to eat. Uh-huh. But we need to really eat to live. So we need to eat the proper things to have a healthy life. So let's get started by, give us a strategy or the information we need to even get started on this journey.
Well, I think first of all, we need to start with really just the mindset around food and what we eat. And like you said, do you live to eat, or do you eat to live? I mean, the mindset around how we think about food is really, really important, because, you know, in our American culture, we have access to everything we could possibly want when it comes to food, you know, every different type of cultural food. We've got healthy food. We've got junk food. We have an overabundance of food. Most people are not starving there are people who are starving. That would be a whole different topic. But just in general, we have an overabundance of very calorie-rich food, but the nutrient density is poor. So we've got a lot of empty calories that are not really serving us. But I think we need to think about, why do we eat? I mean, your food is supposed to be your fuel, your energy source, to give you all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that you need to function well. It's not just about, well, what can I grab to put in my mouth just because it tastes good or because it's abundant. So we really have to think about, food is our medicine, and it's designed to give us the nutrients we need to function well. So if you are just living to eat and being gluttonous, you are really doing harm to your body in a very significant way. and your health is going to suffer for it. You're not going to have good energy. If you eat an overabundance of food, which a lot of people do, you're not going to have good energy. You're not going to have good sleep. You're going to be loaded with chronic diseases and chronic pain. And so the mindset around what we do eat is really, really important.
So as we were speaking earlier about the going to the grocery store, because I know that there's a strategy, because someone asked wanted me to ask you this, the strategy in going to the grocery store and purchasing food, because I know the store has a strategy to get us to buy certain things. I know it's laid out a certain way. So what should be our strategy going into the grocery store and so we can make better choices?
Right. Well, the most important thing is focusing on eating real food and not fake food, packaged foods, processed foods, fried foods, a lot of sugary, sweetened beverages. Though, think about things that have the nutritional value. So if you're going down the soda aisle, and you're buying bottles of Mountain Dew and Pepsi, you're wasting money and you're causing poor health, because there is not one thing in that bottle of soda that is going to provide good nutrition for you. If anything, it's just going to be harming you instead. So one strategy is to always stay around the perimeter of the grocery store and not the aisles in the middle. Because anything that can sit on a shelf for a year at a time is going to be less healthy, less nutrient rich, more toxic, more chemical preservatives to make them shelf stable. So you want to stick to the fresh whole foods around the perimeter, the fruits, the vegetables, the meats, the fish. And those items are going to be much more nutrient dense. And you know, people always say, well, but it's expensive to eat healthy. It's like, well, again, it depends on the mindset that you have around it. Because if you take your next, or your past, if you save any of your grocery bills or your next two or three grocery bills coming up, if you save those bills and you actually look at it and what's on there, what you buy or what's in your cart, I guarantee you, if you notice all of the foods that are unhealthy and then look at how much you spent on all of those unhealthy foods and say, wow, well, if I did not buy those, I could have had all this extra money to buy healthier options. And that's an easy swap, you know, without having to even make any changes in your financial budget.
And you know, I think that, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just think that, when we see things that say organic or sugar-free or anything that has those labels that's supposed to be healthy and good for you, we look at the price immediately and be like, no, that's too expensive for that. So we automatically go for, like you said, the items that's on the shelves that will sit there for a long time, because their prices are, in our mind, their prices are what we can afford. Mm-hmm. And so we stay away from the things that says sugar. Because I do notice things that say sugar-free tend to be cost more than the things that have the sugar in it. But I know it's a choice we have to make.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I mean, and it just depends on what your focus is. So, I mean, you can, there's all different levels of healthy food, of course.
Okay.
And you can work with whatever budget it is that you have. But whatever budget that is, the most important recommendation, I feel, is to eat real food. More than even if you, so say for example, with your vegetables, if you can't afford to buy the organic vegetables, it's still better to buy the non-organic vegetables than it would be to buy a box of, you know, I don't want to put any name brands out there, but like, you know, your box cheesy Mac or something like that, that has, you know, chemicals in it. If you just look at the ingredients of these things that are in those centers of the aisles, and there's list like 25 different ingredients, and most of them are chemicals and you don't even know what they are. That's not real food, and it's making you sick, and it's going to cause inflammation and all kinds of chronic diseases. So is it better to eat more organic vegetables than not? Yes. But if that's not in your budget, there are still ways that you can work with it. One way is, if you look on the website, EWG.org, it stands for Environmental Working Group. This is an organization that it works for on our behalf to evaluate our water and our food and our beauty products and all these things for toxic levels. And they come out every year with something that's called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So the Dirty Dozen is the produce that is more toxic, meaning more pesticide residue that have been sprayed, versus the Clean 15, which have less pesticide residue. So maybe if you can't afford to buy all organic, then maybe you can just focus on the Dirty Dozen, which is usually things that don't have as much skin protection. Like, for example, a pineapple is going to be a cleaner fruit because the rind on the pineapple is so thick that the fruit on the inside is more protected. But if you're looking at something like tomatoes or apples, where there is really no protection around the outside and they're getting that direct spray of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides on the outsides, you know, of these fruits and vegetables, they're going to have higher pesticide residue. So those are things that you would want to say, okay, or like strawberries too, and berries for.
And so
go ahead.
So that means so the things that are labeled organic means they don't have all those things that sprayed on to affect the fruit or the vegetable. That's what organic means, right?
It's much less. It's not a perfect system. Okay. There are still some residues there, but it is going to be less.
It's less. Okay.
Yeah. But again, just, I mean, trying to think about just eating the real food. I mean, and as far as budget too, I mean, if you think about all the times that you eat out in the past month, whether it's buying your lunches out each day or going, how many times do you go out for dinner in a week or in a month? Or how many times you stop in a gas station or a vending machine and grab a snack? I mean, those are very high budget items because, you know, it's much more expensive to eat out. So learning how to cook at home and, you know, simple stuff. It doesn't have to be big fancy meals, but just very.
Uh-oh, Rita, looks like you cut out. Let me see if I can get her reconnected. And also I was thinking, while I get her reconnected, the farmer's market, if anyone has a farmer's market that they can go to buy the things that they need, that would be a blessing as well, because a lot of those items are fresh from the farm and healthy for you. So that would be an option as well. Let me see if I can get her reconnected.
Are we disconnected?
Okay. And so like Rita was saying, is that we need to make sure that we are getting things that are on the perimeter of the grocery store, which is usually your meats and your vegetables, those things that are healthy for you. And of course, lean meats are healthy for you. And then read the containers for the aisles that's in the middle of the store. We have to read the containers, the packaging, to see what's there, what's added. If we can't read those packages, those names, all those chemicals, then we shouldn't be eating it. And if you find a package that the first thing is listed is some sort of sugar, you definitely don't want to to ingest that. So it's just
Yep.
us doing our homework and really making that mindset change, as Rita said. It's something we really need to consider, and then work it into your budget. And then you may not be able to do it all at one time, just small things. Just make gradual changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. There you go. And just
Yeah.
make get make, okay. Make those gradual changes, and make, and then build from there. That way, it's less impactful, because you know we don't do well when we make sudden changes and we go from 0 to 100, and we fail because that's too much. So if you make small incremental changes throughout your diet and start looking at those packagings, like you were saying, and reading those boxes, because that's one thing, Rita, I've learned since we've been doing the Daniel Fast with the church, is I read those boxes and I'm like, why is sugar in this? And why is this in that? I mean, what's the point? And it's like, oh my goodness, what is the stuff? I mean, I was so surprised that all the stuff that has sugar in, I'm like, I didn't, why?
Right. Because that's how the
So.
food industry works. The food industry is in the business of making money. They're not in the business of health. So what they actually do is they have these food laboratories and they bring people in to test out the food products, and they give them samples of things and they have them try them. And what always comes down to is that people like things that have a sweeter taste to it. And that's why they add sugar to salad dressings. They add sugar to condiments like ketchup and like things that should never even have sugar in it. But again, they're designed to satisfy people's palate and then also create the addiction of sugar, so you keep coming back for more. So you got to remember that just because it's in the grocery store doesn't mean that it's good for you. Their whole goal is just to sell their products. So that's how it works.
Yeah, because they definitely have you addicted to it. Because, like I said, during the Daniel Fast, I purchased the sugar-free ketchup, and I was like, wow. I mean, and I've gotten used to it. To the point that a lot of things that have sugar in it, I don't even like it because it's too sweet now.
Yes, absolutely.
Just from that Daniel. Yeah. So my mind is like, that's too much.
Yeah. That's a good thing that your palate is changing like that. So you want that sweet stuff less and less. You know, another great tip too for, you know, what kind of meals and you can come up with. You know, our pastor's always talking about what's in your hand. You know, what do you already have to work with? So most of the time we already have tons of stuff in our pantry and in our refrigerator that we could just, you know, take a bunch of stuff out and see what can you create with that. Just like, you know, when they say people who are trying to come up with some cash, and everybody who owns a home that could probably look around their house and their garage and find at least $1,000 or $2,000 worth of stuff that they could actually sell to make money. Well, you know, your pantry and your refrigerator is most likely the same way. And honestly, I really don't like grocery shopping. I like to do it as little as possible. So sometimes my family is always like, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. But I could always create something, you know, by cooking. They're really not into cooking. So I get creative and I say, this is what I do have. What can I make with this? You know, and, you know, YouTube is great.
Right.
You can, there's tons of cooking shows on YouTube and stuff like that. But it's so easy to just make it simple, you know. I mean, you can go get a bag of frozen wild-caught fish and cook up the whole bag for the family. And you literally, like, you defrost the fish, you put it on a piece of nonstick paper, and you bake it in the oven on 350. You put a couple of spices on it and a little lemon juice, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you don't have to
yeah.
go out for the fried stuff. And, you know, if you go out to dinner and get a nice piece of fish, you know, at a nice dinner, you're talking $25, where, you know, you can feed an entire family several meals for that amount of money. So.
And also, and I don't know if you heard me say, I say go to the farmer's market and get your fresh vegetables and your fresh fruit. That's an option because their prices are probably less than the supermarket. And they have all these new services now that will bring you, you can order the fresh food and you bring, they're delivered to you and you just follow their simple instructions and putting it together, and you have a healthy meal. I've seen so many of those services that the meals look delicious and they're healthy.
Absolutely. And when it comes to the farmers market, it's great too because you're most likely you're going to be buying what's in season, because that's what's growing currently. And when it's in season, it's going to be much more nutrient rich as well. And then if you don't end up cooking all of it, instead of it going to waste, freeze some of it. Same thing with your fruit. You know, if you have bananas and they get to the point where they're, you know, a little overripe and nobody wants to eat them anymore, break them up into small pieces and put them in a freezer bag, put them in your freezer, and then when you want to make a smoothie, take them out and you know, you add a couple pieces of banana to a smoothie, or same thing with any other fruits that are starting to go bad. But you mentioned the organic fruits and vegetables before. You could buy those frozen. Usually, when you buy them frozen, like for example, strawberries, they're only fresh and in season here in North Carolina around April, May, and that's it for the whole year. So any other time you're getting them year round, it's being shipped in from other parts of the world, and they're not going to be as good quality. So I really will only buy like the fresh organic fruits like blueberries and strawberries that once a year. And then the rest of the year, if I want them, I'll buy them in organic in the frozen food section. And vegetables are real cheap to get that way too. If you buy them in the frozen section and you can get organic vegetables in the bag, they're going to be a lot cheaper that way too versus trying to buy them, you know, fresh all year round.
Yeah, then that's a good point because I know this time of year is like apples, and I love apples, and so I just get so excited about apple season. And but after this, say October, November, they're no longer in season, and I've noticed that they don't have a taste. And it's like, how's the store still selling these apples, the strawberries too? There's no taste. Grapes, there's
That's
no
right.
taste, but they're still sell. They look good,
That's
but
right.
there's no taste to them. And it's like,
Right.
okay, so I have to not, even though they look good, because sometimes it's pleasing to the eyes, and I go and
Yeah.
buy, and then I'm mad I spent my money because they don't even, they look good, but they don't taste good.
Right. And
And so we have to be careful about, I guess we have to educate ourselves on the regional fruits and vegetables and when they're in season and not in
yes.
season.
Yes, and our farmers market puts those lists out too on the internet where you can see what is in season and what they're going to be having at the farmers market. But yeah, they're definitely not going to have the best taste when they're not in season. And it's a great way to make healthy desserts too. I actually just made I bought some organic apples, but they had these giant apples and they were just like way too big to eat like all at once. So I cut up the apples in the bite-sized pieces and I just sprinkled them with cinnamon and some organic grass-fed butter. And I baked them in the oven and I had a great, healthy, delicious, no sugar. You don't have to put sugar on your apples or on your sweet potatoes. They're already sweet. You don't need to add sugar to them. So especially when you cook them, that natural sugar sweetness comes out when you bake them. So yeah, I made baked apples with cinnamon last night and my daughter goes crazy for that. So yeah, there's lots of things you can do.
It's just all about, like you said, doing our homework and that mindset change, making it, being determined, doing things intentionally to eat better, make better choices.
Yeah. And you know, people are afraid to or don't want to learn how to cook, but it really is like something just like finance 101 should be taught in school, cooking should be taught in school too. I mean, these are such important basic, you know, needs that we all have that should be taught but are really not. Because you know, then people will buy like frozen meals and things like that, and they think they're doing something good. But how many times have you bought a frozen meal and you've tore that package open and you're like, that's it? It's like this teeny tiny portion of a meal that's in this plastic container, which is all, you know, if you don't ever want to heat food in plastic because there's so many chemicals in the plastics, and then you microwave it and then it leaches all those chemicals into your food. And they're highly processed and they're so much more expensive. You know, you buy this dinner for like $7 and it's like this one cup serving of something that doesn't even fill you up. It's loaded with salt. There's hardly any nutritional value and it's a waste, you know?
And I noticed that when they advertise it on TV, it's like, oh, that looks so good. But when you buy it, it does not look like that.
That's right.
It doesn't come
Absolutely.
close to looking like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they know how to get our money. They know how to feed our minds to focus it on their stuff, as we need to do our homework and make those better choices, because it's easy to see that stuff on TV and go buy it and think you're doing good. And yeah. And none of us read those back of those packages. Come on. I mean, we just pick it up and keep on moving. We don't read, especially in mac and cheese. It's like, okay, we don't even look at what's that stuff, that powdered cheese and all that.
What is it really, right? Nobody who knows. And you know, a lot of people think too, well, meats are so expensive, and you know, and it depends, of course, there's definitely different levels of quality of meat. And if you can get them directly from your farmers, then that's awesome. But if you're still on a budget, it's still better to buy like the less expensive cuts of meat that you could use in like soups or stews or burritos or casseroles. You know, you can add them to your Instapot with broth and throw in a bag of vegetables and, you know, like one pot meal, super easy, inexpensive, and, you know, like enough to feed the whole family.
So, in other words, we just need to take our time, read these packages, and make wiser choices and stop thinking about the cost of how much it costs, as in money, but think about how much it's costing you in your health.
That absolutely. You pay now or you pay later. But I honestly think, really, I mean, people don't realize how much money they're spending on food that is expensive, like I said, with eating out, and just poor quality and fast food. I mean, how many times have people who some people just eat fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And you think about how much you spend in a day on all of that. I mean, it's astronomical compared to what it would be if you bought real food and prepared it at home.
Yes, definitely. You and when I was going to work, just think about the people that I work with. They went out every single day for lunch. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you're spending a lot of money. And then all I could think of was all the grease and the stuff they was taking in every single day. And I was like, no, I'm not going to give you my money every day. I'm going to bring my own lunch. And I brought my own lunch every day because the thought of eating that fast food and that stuff every day, it was like, no. But people do it because they're not even thinking about it. It's just mindless behavior.
Exactly. And you add on your tax on top of that. You add on a tip on top of that for your server. I mean, that money adds up. I remember Oprah Winfrey talking many, many years ago. She called it the latte factor, when she had a financial planner coming in talking about, like, just for example, like just going out and buying that one coffee every day, which, you know, used to be maybe a couple of bucks. And now if you go to Starbucks, you're talking about like $5 a day for a coffee, you know, 5 days a week, $25 a week, that's $100 a month, you know, $1,200 a year. I mean, that's a vacation right there.
So yeah.
That money adds up. So
it sure does. And people don't even think twice about it. Like Sunday. There was a Starbucks, God bless them. They were closed because the employees did not show up. And that's rare for Starbucks to be closed. But we sat in that parking lot and we watched so many cars kept pulling up and reading the sign on the door, people walking through that door. I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, it was droves of people kept going to that door and was so hurt and confused that Starbucks was closed. And we just kept watching these people. It's like, oh my goodness, all these people are coming for coffee and stuff.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
I'm amazed at how people spend money there and other places like that. And especially because it's not even good quality. They don't have, it's not organic coffee, which means all of their coffee beans are sprayed with pesticides. And so you're ingesting all these pesticide residues with every single cup of coffee. The milk is not organic. So, you know, that's loaded and pumped with hormones and antibiotics. And, you know, the animals that they're getting the milk from are not healthy. So you're spending like top dollar for this premium item that is not premium at all. You know, so it's amazing to me that people will spend that kind of money. I get the best quality coffee that I can get. I make mine at home. I mean, it's like the simplest thing to do. You know.
Yeah, they got people hooked on that stuff. Oh, tell you, I was like, wow.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Well, is there anything else we should know when we visit in the store, or any other options other than farmers market or ordering the fresh food online and having it delivered? Is there any other options we should be looking at?
Well, again, like I said, I mean, there's always such different levels, you know, for everybody, depending on your different budgets. But, you know, hey, even if you're somebody who's getting food stamps, you know, just get real food with your food stamps. Don't buy the soda and the potato chips. I mean, how many times have you seen people with their food stamps in the grocery store and all the food in their cart is garbage? It's sugar sweetened cereals and soda and potato chips. And, you know, that you're killing yourself. I mean, you can just eat real food no matter what your budget is, whether it's food stamps all the way up to, you know, grass fed, grass finished, you know, regenerative farmers. We do have for our people here in our Raleigh community, we do have farmers that actually come to North Raleigh, right in our church parking lot, Raleigh North Christian Center, once a month, and deliver super high quality meats directly from the farmers that we have here in Johnston County. I mean, they could reach out to our Healthy Lifestyles Ministry at the church if they want to know how they can buy those meats directly from the grocery store, from the farmers. But like you said, farmers markets too, and talk to your farmers, ask them, you know, how do you prepare this? Are there pesticides in here? You know, how is this grown? Can I come visit your farm? A lot of them would love to let you come and visit their farm. They're so proud of their work and they're such hard workers, and it's so important that we support our farmers as well. They are truly a godsend, and where would we be without them? I mean, the number of farmers and farmland that's quality is diminishing so much that, you know, we are getting sicker and sicker because of it. Because even when we do try to eat nutrient-rich foods and get organic produce, the soil that it's grown in is so much more depleted of nutrients than it was 50 years ago. So you have to eat like, 10 times as much vegetables just to get the same amount of nutrients that was in the soil 50 years ago. So you got to be really mindful about making it a priority. So, that's about all I wanted to say.
And I just want to piggyback on that for people that's not here in the Raleigh area, that you live somewhere else and you're listening to this podcast. Look in within your community and find that farmer's market, or find where you can get that information about fresh produce and really good meat, and spread the word. Just do homework, your homework in your area.
Yes.
And find it, because I know it's out there. I know it's out there. We don't always have to go to the grocery store for everything. There's some things we can get fresh, like
That's
Rita's
right.
saying, from the farmers themselves. So
yeah.
do your homework.
Yeah, and I actually have a couple resources that people can use for that. And of course, growing your own is always an option too. If you have that desire or passion or and land, that, you know, growing some of your own, even just herbs and some small things, really makes all the difference in flavor and nutrient value. But I have a couple of links on my website that they can find. One of them is called eatwild.com, and the other one is called Local Harvest. I think that one's .org. And you can basically just punch in your zip code, and it will tell you the local farmers in your area of your zip code and what products that they have that you can buy direct from them, whether it's meats or eggs or produce or whatever. So you can find directly, high quality food directly from the farmers. So that's
oh,
a
great,
great, great,
great
way to go.
Mm-hmm. And for people that will be listening to this later, I will add Rita's website on the Podbean website. And you can click on that and then go to her site and get all that information, so you don't have to sit here and try to write it down and remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be her website to be listed on the Podbean website. So Rita, if you want to give all your social media handles, we can, so people can look you up and contact
sure.
you.
Sure. Thanks. So all social media platforms are Rita Brewer Consulting. My website is ritabrewer.com, and I do, I'm actively taking on clients right now for my one-on-one health coaching practice. I love, love, love helping people with chronic diseases like hypertension and diabetes and obesity, and helping people prevent them, reverse them, get them healthy overall. So I am actively taking new clients. So if you're interested in talking to me a little bit more about potentially working with me, we can get on a free phone call, which you could book through my website at ritabrewer.com.
Okay, and I'll give our Gifted Generation LLC's information. We're on Facebook, is Gifted Gen LLC on Facebook. On Instagram, we're gift.gen. And then on YouTube, we're Gifted Generations LLC. And our website is Gifted Generations -llc.com, and don't forget the dash. All right, so once again, Rita, thank you for that information. I'm definitely going to take that information and start making wiser choices.
Thank
not
you,
the
Rob.
Easy choice, not look, not the easy choices, the wiser choices.
Baby steps, one
yeah.
step at a time. That's all.
Yeah.
It was my pleasure to be here, Robin. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.